That was great, youth choir. Amen. What a determination. If you'd like to turn with me to our scripture tonight, Genesis chapter 15, as you're turning, this Saturday at 5 o'clock is our men's ministry. You'll be at Vaughn Hall, is that correct? Okay. So, ma'am, just bring a dessert and 2 liters. And I know you'll be baking Saturday morning, so just bake up something good there. Amen. Look forward to that time of fellowship. Praise God. Anyone halfway happy you might be saved tonight? Anybody overjoyed to know you're saved? Amen. These things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. Faith like the fathers. Tonight, I want to deal with this title, Talking with God, or you could say Conversations with God. You know, it's quite an incredible thing that we lowly humans can even have a conversation with God. That's something to think about, isn't it? You know, there was a missionary that I was only acquainted with at a distance, never really had maybe just shared a few words with him. But after years of knowing at a distance, knowing him, he came to our church for a mission service. And after the mission service, we were still living in the parsonage, and we were sitting around the table, and we were eating, and we were laughing, and we were talking. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and he looked at me, and he says, "Brother, you are nothing like I thought you were," talking to me. What made the difference of what he thought of me? Our conversation, our talking. You know, you really don't know a person until you've been involved in conversation with them, in deep conversation. Do you realize that Abraham is the only one in the Bible called the friend of God? Kalilala, or El Kali, the friend. And God's the one that called him his friend. Look, just one example. It's in the New Testament too. But in Isaiah 41, verse 8, God says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." How did Abraham get to be a friend of God? They had conversations. We're going to look at our text in just a moment, but you're going to notice this was a two-way conversation. We're going to see tonight, and I want you to look for it. Abraham said, God said. Abraham said, God said. We're going to see that dialogue. And right before we read, I want to ask you a question. Lately, have you had a real conversation with God? Has it been a dialogue? Has it been a back and forth with the Lord? I want to read these scriptures. I'm going to take the time to. And if you'll just follow along as I read. Genesis 15, verse 1. And look for the God said and Abram said. After these things, the word of the Lord, or Jehovah, came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, the Lord said, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And God brought Abram forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And Abram believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord said unto Abram, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And Abram said, "Lord God," notice the conversation, the dialogue, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And the Lord said unto him, "Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep came upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Abram's 85. God said you're going to be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, your heirs shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace or a lamp and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. In the same day, the Lord made covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, on these Wednesday nights, I've been telling the whole story and then making some points. I'm not going to do that tonight because this is a conversation. And I'm going to look at the piece of the conversation and the truth that that tells us. If you notice, verse 1 said, after these things. When you see something like it in the Bible, after these things, we should ask a question, what things? And if you'll remember, last time we had that exciting, adventuresome story how Lot was taken captive by foreign invaders, taken 100 miles away, and Abram with his small band of servants chased after that great army and surprised them in a night attack and took back the prisoners and the spoil and rescued Lot. But you know, in the excitement of all that, and that was a tremendous story we had last week, we forget something. Abram, though he was victorious, he put his life on the line. He could have been killed in that battle action. And there is a very real possibility that Abram was suffering the stress and anxiety that even victors experience. He had won, but he began to reflect, I could have died on that battlefield. You know, it's similar to the PTSDs, that anxiety that hits people. And Abraham began to think of how soon his life could be over. And if it had ended on that battlefield, he never would have had that son that God promised him. God knew that Abraham was experiencing this anxiety and this frustration. So God appeared. He came to Abram and he began to speak with him and have a conversation with him as between friends. Now, we're going to look at that, but I want you to notice something. And this is very important. Though Abram's having a conversation with God as a friend, it wasn't a buddy kind of thing. Because Abraham never lost his respect for the Lord as he talked with him. So how did that conversation go? I read it, but I'm going to summarize. God knows how Abram's feeling, so he says something like this. Abram, don't be afraid. Don't doubt. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. In other words, shield. You know, in those times, we don't walk around with shields. We don't need them. But there were constantly arrows flying and spears being thrown and swords being thrust. And a shield was the way to thwart the arrows, the spear and the sword. A shield was very important. And God said, listen, you're worried about your life, but I want you to know something, Abraham. I'm your shield. How many knows God's our shield? You don't know what God has kept from us even today. But not only are you our shield, am I your shield, God said to Abraham, I'm your reward. I not only will protect you, I will provide. I promised you a son, and I'm going to reward that son to you. Now that's the tale. Here's the truth. Conversation with God will bring calm. I said, conversation with God will bring calm. Just as certainly as Abraham was filled with anxiety, upset that the promise hadn't been fulfilled, when God spoke the promise to Abraham anew, when God reassured Abraham that he would be a shield and a reward, that had to calm the heart and the soul of Abraham. I want you to know it's amazing. We should never forget when we become anxious and troubled and in turmoil, if we'd have a conversation with God, it could calm our souls. You know, sometimes we're like Abraham. We survey our future and we feel an anxiety. But you know, there's one thing more daunting than looking out at what's in front of you. It's looking back at all that's already behind you and realizing there's less left in front of you than there is behind you. So not only was Abraham dealing with the apprehension of the future, he was dealing with, I've already passed all this distance and no son. God hasn't brought me the son. My life's getting away from me. That was part of his consternation. But when he talked with God, there was a calm. Let's go on with our story. Thinking how quickly life could end. Realizing he had not yet received that heir, that son. Abraham began to stew about something else. Do you realize, you know, Abraham's not dumb. People may not have had clinics on every corner, but they're not dumb. Abraham realized that his wife's biological clock had passed the stage of having children. He realized his biological clock was running out. He's 85 years old. And he realizes that biologically, a child just isn't going to happen. So here's what Abraham said. Lord, you just told me you would be my reward. Really, God? You're my reward? Where is that son you promised me all these years? I still have no heir. I'm closer to dying than I've ever been. And now I'm going to have to leave everything, not to my son, but to my steward. Now, you've got to get God's response to this. In Hebrew, it's very emphatic. God, I don't believe God shouts, but very emphatically, God said, no! What is this talk about your steward being your heir? I promised you a son. No, your steward, not Eliezer, your steward will be your heir, but your son will be your heir. And then God did something interesting. He said, Abram, let's take a walk. Come here, Abram. Come out of your tent. Let's go walk out in the pasture. And they got out in the pasture and God said, look up. And Abram looked up, he craned his head and his neck. And God said, Abram, do you see all those stars? Now, let me pause a little bit. I've been trying to hurry, so I haven't exposited too much here, talked too much here. We live in a city. You don't see too many stars at night. But I've been up 7,000 feet in Nevada and 120 miles between towns. And I've seen it where the stars look like they were touching each other. You could drive by the light of the stars. Can you imagine without the light pollution in those days? God said, Abraham, look at the stars. Can you imagine how many stars he could see? And it's not a thing of an exact scientific number. It's simply that God was saying, as hard as it would be for you to count all those stars, you're going to have so many descendants that you would find it hard to number them. Just look up at that. And under that expanse of stars, talking to God, Abraham had to realize something else. Compared to what was out there, he was but a speck in the universe, and yet God's talking to him. Think about it with me. He's standing out there under that great expanse of sky and all those stars. He had to feel, I'm just a little bitty, tiny, tiny dot in the universe. God is talking to this dot. Hallelujah. Something is beginning to happen in the heart of Abram. God is my shield. He will bless me. I mean, how do you argue with the maker of stars? Here in Genesis, at this point, we come to one of the most important statements in all of the Bible. How many noticed it when I read through the chapter? One of the most important statements of all the Bible. Here it is. And at that moment, under the stars, Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. How many knows the gospel is founded on that? The Reformation, evangelicalism is based on that. You see, Abraham didn't suddenly become perfect. He didn't suddenly become completely changed. Abraham would sin again. It's in the record. So how's he now righteous? Because he believed God. And God said, if you believe me like that, I consider you righteous. That's a wonderful, freeing thing. Paul built his gospel on that. You can read it. It's the theme of Galatians and Romans. Amen. We're saved. We're counted righteous before God when we believe God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, he'll make us perfect and he'll work on us. But you don't go around saying somehow I'm going to earn and merit the favor of God. Amen. You'll never be righteous in all of your efforts. But believe God. And he was counted for righteous. Well, here's the truth. Conversation with God will bring confidence. Out there under the stars, all of a sudden, Abraham's got confidence in his heart. Amen. He's considered his age and Sarah's age. He's considered the uncertainty and the shortness of life. He was filled with the dread that he had never had the promised son. But he's talked with God. And now he's got faith. Now he's got trust. Now he's got belief. Amen. His doubts are gone. How many knows if we would really talk with God, if we'd really talk with God, our doubts would have to get out of there. And they would be replaced with the confidence. Do you lack confidence in God tonight? Talk with him like Abraham did. God didn't tell Abram anything new. He just refreshed Abraham. And God encouraged him. Let's go on with this dialogue. God said, now Abram, not only will you have an heir, but I'm going to give you all this land for your heir. I brought you all the way from Ur to give you this land. And Abraham asked a good question. He said, well, how do I know this land will be mine? I mean, if he looked around, people were living in houses and cities and villages, and they were harvesting the fields. And God said, all of that is going to be yours, Abraham. Abraham asked a good question. How do you know? Now listen, we're fixing to get to something very interesting in the scripture, and it really means something. As we cover it tonight, if we pay attention to this. Abraham said, how do I know it's going to be mine? You know what God said? He said, because I'm going to make a covenant with you. But here's how he said he'd make a covenant. He said, Abraham, here's how you're going to know it's going to be yours. I want you to get a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. And I want you to divide the goat, and I want you to divide the ram and the heifer, and get the two birds, and get them ready. So Abraham, he took those larger animals, he divided them in half. Put half here, half here, half here, half here, half here, half here. Now the birds are really too small to divide, so he put one bird here and one bird there. What in the world is Abram doing? You see, you got to understand something before I explain this. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Did you know the Hebrew word for covenant? Covenant literally is to cut a covenant, and it came from a custom of that time. And so Abram knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Now I want you to think about this. In Abram's time, there's no courts, there's no paper for writing things down, there's no place to store records, there's none of that. And so how do you make something binding like a covenant? One of the ways is you did something drastic and dramatic in public so that everybody would remember it. And one of the way dramatic things you did was this. You got animals and you have them, and then both parties that were making the covenant would walk between the halves of the animals. You know what that was saying? I mean, first of all, animals died, but it was also saying this. If I break this covenant, may I be drawn and quartered too. If I break this covenant, may they take me out and have my body and kill me. That's how serious a covenant was. And God, according to the custom of the time, told Abraham to get prepared for this ceremony, serious ceremony, dramatic ceremony. And Abraham did. He had the animals, put the birds there, and guess what? Nothing happened. And as the sun beats down and the flesh begins to rot of those sacrifices, the birds of carrion come. The vultures begin to fly in to eat. Where's God at? God said, get it ready. No God. Nothing's happening. Now the vultures are coming. Here's the important thing. Abraham didn't say, nothing's happening. I give up on this and whirl around and leave. When the vultures came, what does the Bible say he did? He drove them away. I want to pause to say sometime, amen, there's going to be these kind of delays. And the enemy of doubt and unbelief will be swooping in. But we've got to be like Abram. We've got to drive the vultures away. Because if God said, set it up, God's going to show up. Amen? Amen. And so the sun has dipped below the horizon, and the curtain of natural darkness is drawn across the earth. And Abram falls into a deep sleep, but he felt a fear as even a greater darkness descended upon him. But in the midst of that fear, God spoke again. And he said, listen, Abram, you're not sure. You yourself aren't even sure you'll have an heir. But I'm telling you, it's so certain that you'll have an heir that I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your descendants 400 years from now. Amen. Your descendants are going to leave this land. They're going to be held captive in a foreign land for 400 years. But I will judge that nation, Egypt, and I will bring them out of Egypt with great spoil. And your descendants will come and live in all this land that you now see. I'm going to pause for just a moment because there's another important scripture in verse 16. God said to Abraham, in the fourth generation, they shall come again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That seems incidental, but God did not let the inhabitants of Canaan be driven out of the land until they had sinned to the point there was no redemption. And then he brought Israel back to be his arm of judgment against those wicked Amorites. I've heard this week, I'm tired of hearing people say God of the Old Testament was cruel because he told Israel to go in and to kill all those innocent people. That's not the record. It's clear from right here in this verse, until the iniquity of the Amorites, well, it's clear that God waited until they were beyond redemption in their wickedness, and then he used Israel not to kill innocent people, but he used the descendants of Abraham with the sword to bring judgment on that wickedness, not until they were beyond that point of redemption. Now, God says something else to Abraham. He said, now listen, Abraham, you're not going to die a violent death. And you're going to die peacefully at great age. You see, Abram in this story has thought he's come to the end of his life without the promise being fulfilled of an heir. And now God's told him, you've got a lot of years in front of you. Now, I've told you twice tonight, Abraham was 85. Does anyone know how long Abraham lived, what he was when he died? 175. At this point, when he was fearful of dying, he had 90 years of life. He hadn't even reached middle age at 85. God said, you got lots of years left. And then God, this is so interesting. And let me just use the figures they probably were. God manifested himself as a flaming lamp and a flaming torch. And that flaming lamp and flaming torch passed between the halves of the animal sacrifice. Now, here's the point. Every other time, both members of the covenant passed through the halves because both of them swore themselves, pledged themselves to fulfill the covenant. But on this occasion, only God, with the lamp and the torch, passed through. Abraham did not. In other words, God is saying, Abraham, it doesn't matter what you do. Now, God wants him to live right and everything, but that's not the point. God says, I'm doing this. It's not dependent upon you, how good you do, whatever. I am going to do this. And he bound himself to fulfill that. Here's the truth. Conversation with God will bring confirmation. Those lamps passing between the animal sacrifice, that was confirming to Abraham. I don't know how God will confirm it to you, but if he's promised you and you talk with him, he will confirm his promises to you. He did it this way with Abraham. There had been a delay getting the animals ready. There was a delay between the promise and the heir. But God confirms that in spite of the delay, he's still going to do it. You've served God. You've expected things. You wanted to see things. And there's been a delay. But if you will keep talking with God, he will confirm to you. Amen. Through that conversation, he's going to do what he says. And then, let's go on. We're about done, but God added a page to the contract. It said after God passed through those animal halves, he told Abraham that he did not even begin to realize how much land that God was going to give him. He had walked some of it, and God said, I'll give you that. But God went on to say, I'll give you so much land, it'll reach from Egypt. I should have had a map. But from Egypt to the Euphrates River. God said, your descendants will possess lands right here that you see. Land from Egypt that will include Jordan, parts of Saudi Arabia, Syria, and Iraq, using modern-day nations. Now, here's the point. Even at its largest, under Solomon, Israel never possessed all the land God told him in Genesis 15. Israel was the largest under King Solomon, but even then it didn't fill out to the perimeters of what God promised. You know what that means? It hadn't happened yet. Israel hasn't possessed all that land. Again, from Egypt, if you can envision it, going up north, Syria, Jordan to the east, parts of Iraq and Saudi Arabia. To this day, Israel has not yet possessed all that land, but God promised it. So that means sometime, maybe in our lifetime, Israel will possess it. Because everything of this covenant has come to pass except these extended perimeters. Amen. So what was God doing? God was saying, not only am I going to fulfill the promise, I'm going to give you more than you can even imagine. So here it is. Here's the truth. Conversation with God will bring considerably more than you even dreamed or expected. The promise had just gotten bigger, more land than Abram could imagine. I want to tell you, when you talk with God, not only will he remove the doubts, you'll begin to hear him promising even more than you could imagine that he would have for you. And I'm not talking just materially. I'm talking about spiritually in your walk with him. Praise the Lord. So here's what we're going to take home tonight. And remember, these things I'm going to quickly share, all of them are in the context of a conversation with God. Here's what we need to take home. First of all, share with God your anxieties and your questions. Sometimes we easily share those with others. Sometimes we even put them on Facebook. But if you have fears and anxieties, talk to God about them. Amen? Let's take this home. Secondly, look up when in doubt. What did God do when Abraham was doubting? Come out to the pasture. Let's look up at the stars. Amen. If you share God your anxieties and questions, God will calm you. But if you will look up in doubt, God will give you confidence. Do you see? To look up is to trust God. To look up is to say, I'm not looking at any other source for help. God, I'm trusting you for help. I'm not looking around. Take this home. Don't despair over the delay. God delayed giving Abram the son. God delayed coming down and fulfilling that confirmation of the covenant. And yet God showed up. Sometimes we get real antsy when God doesn't immediately fulfill those promises in our lives. And don't despair. God will give confirmation. Even in the delay, God will give confirmation. Take this home. Remember, things aren't over when we think they are. You know, Abraham was like a 20-year-old young lady without a boyfriend, and she's all worked up thinking she's going to be an old maid. I'm 20 years old, and I'm not married. And Abraham was saying, I'm 85, and I don't have my son yet. God said, you just think things are over. I got 90 more years for you. Isn't that just like God? When you think everything's over, God says, hey, wait a minute. It might be over in man's scheme of things, but not when you factor me in. Last of all, take this home. Be confident that God has plans for all of your life, all the way through. See, Abraham was just concerned about that first heir, and now God's talking to him about descendants 400 years out and land beyond the scope of a telescope. Amen. Remember that God has more. Be confident that God has plans for your life that go way beyond, amen, just right now in the immediate future. In fact, his plans for us go clear into eternity. Amen? Would you come, music? You know, when two people are out of sorts in their relationship, it'll never be right until they talk. And it's the same with our relationship with God. When things are out of sorts, it's never going to be right until there's a deep, two-way dialogue and conversation. That's what Abraham had with God. I want to point out as I close that after all those years, yes, Abraham still had struggles and he still had doubts. But he did the thing that needed to be done. He had a conversation with God. I want to tell you the greatest answer to doubts is to talk to God and then to listen. How do you do that? Definitely prayer. But also, you know, if you want to have a two-way conversation, get in the Word. That's where you hear the Lord. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Thank you, God, that you're mindful of us. Lord, that you're ready to calm, you're ready to help, you're ready to confirm, you're ready to give confidence, Lord. And I pray you'd move in the hearts of your people this evening. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Could we come and pray tonight? Let's have a talk with God this evening. Could you do that? Come have a conversation with God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just a speck, but God's talking with me. I'm just a speck in the scheme of things, but God's speaking to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't you have that dialogue with Him tonight? Amen. Speak your anxieties. Speak your fears. Amen. Listen to His response. God, I need you tonight. Talk with me, Lord. Speak with me, Lord.
Today.